Mark 11:22. Oh, we're online, aren't we? I welcome you, internet audience. We're glad that you're watching today and listening. You're going to like this today. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For surely I say unto you that whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." That's a law. That's not a word of faith camp statement. That's in the Bible. Amen. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I forgot to tell you that LaDonna's here too. Amen. She's right here. Be sure and hug her neck. Praise the Lord. Great minister of God. Now, go over to Matthew 21, 21. Matthew 21, 21. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Ronnie texted in there on their last days of having to stay out, and she said she'd be listening for a cat joke today. I don't have any cat jokes. I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I'll think of one maybe. Matthew 21, 21. Are you there?
Yes. Amen.
So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt," got that? "You will not only do what was done to the fig tree." Remember?
Yeah, right.
He put an end to the fig tree because it was unfruitful. "But also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it'll be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive."
Amen.
Now the Bible tells us in four places that the just shall live by faith. Three places in the New Testament, once in the Old Testament. Romans, Galatians, I think it's Habakkuk, Hebrews. We see it in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. Now go over to Hebrews 11:6. We're going to get all of our scriptures up front. I don't want to just quote them today. I want you to see them. And I believe they're on the screen as well. All right. Are you there? "But without faith, it's impossible to please him." Okay? Now, this is what the writer of Hebrews said. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And if you look up rewarder, you're going to find remunerator, which means he'll answer upon approach. That's a good thing to know. So if you have faith and you're asking for something, God will answer upon approach when you come to him. That's good, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. So, if we're going to work with this person we call the Lord, he is your Lord. He's our Savior, but he's our Lord. If you're going to work with this person that you call your Lord, then you are absolutely going to have to do it his way. And his way is a good way.
Amen.
It's faith.
Yeah, that's right.
The just shall live by faith. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to do something with your faith. Now you can listen to this. This is Luke 6:46. I just want to make sure you understand that what I just said is scriptural. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So if he is the Lord Jesus, okay, "whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. So when you do what Jesus says to do, you're on a rock. You're on a firm foundation. But he who heard and did nothing like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. Some of the scriptures say like sand, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So when you do things God's way, you're going to be on a firm foundation. And God's way is faith. God's way is also grace.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You need to understand grace. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that Jesus has paid for every sin you've ever done and every sin you will ever do. It's already been paid for, and you just appropriate that in your life. We're not on some legalistic road trying to earn God's love. He loves you. He loves you now. Does he love you just like you are? I don't think that's really a good statement. I'm sure he wants everybody to have a better life. But he does love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Now listen to this. Listen to this real mindfully. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, talking about the word, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, talking about the person who doesn't go, "Oh, that was a good word today," and you never ever think about it again. A doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, even in this church, God gives you the grace to do it. You're never on your own with God. He's not going, "You better do this or you're gonna..." That's not him. He's saying, "Once I tell you something, my dear loved one, I'll give you the power and the grace to do it." Everything he's ever asked you to do, there's grace to do it. "Well, I don't know how I could answer the call of God." Well, it's really easy because he gives you the grace to do it. How can you be a pastor? How can you stand that blah, 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 with all the people? And there's a grace. There's a grace for who you are, the job you have, the assignment you have. There's a grace for it. Amen.
Amen.
I have no clue how someone could be a nurse, but they have a grace for it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you hear the word. It's like looking into a mirror and seeing who you really are. It's like seeing who he really is, and it's seeing what really works. And it's what's been prepared for you. You look into that word and you're looking into a mirror and it says, "Hey, this is what I have for you." Amen.
Amen.
And when you do that, he's provided all these things for you. He forgives you. He heals you. He blesses you, gives you levels of grace, brings you up in new levels of grace and faith, and he makes your dreams come true. You know, religion says, "Well, you're going to have to give up all your dreams to serve God." That is so not true. God gave you those dreams. Those dreams need to come true. But they need to come true with the power of the Spirit behind you instead of you just trying to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So James is telling us that we need to do something with the word that you hear at church, are the word that you're studying at home. Not just look at it and go, "Well, that was my daily devotional. I could check off this day." But go, "Man, what's this really telling me?" So many people don't even know what the Bible means. They think, "Oh, it's just hard. It's just hard." It's not hard when you really, really see what it's really saying. And it's not a bunch of rules for you to follow. Amen.
Amen.
But what we do know is that we need to water the word. We need to weed out the weeds from the word. We need to plant the word first and then weed it. Now look at this verse. This is one you know. This is Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are you sorry? You're not there yet. Your Bible probably falls open to this one. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is laying hold of things in the heavenly realm, like speed up, and bringing them into this realm. It's a bridge. Okay? Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything you need, God has for you, and it's kept in the other realm away from corruption until you make a demand on it. But you make a demand on it with your faith, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Gonna make a demand on it with your faith. He keeps it safe for you. Now, you know the scripture. Let me read it to you. This is 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So you're not gonna just get it with your five senses. You're gonna have to tap the spirit. Danny was going down these same lines. You get things from the spirit. Church, God works. He is a spirit. God is not a mind. He's not a mind. He's a spirit. And so he's going to work with you not through your mind, but through your spirit, which will then upload into your mind. Okay? He's a spirit. So everything you're going to get from the spiritual realm and bring it to this realm is going to have to come through the spirit.
Right.
And faith is a spiritual force that will do that. It will deliver to you what you're looking for. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But God has revealed them to us through his spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God, not to make light of him, but he's a big old search engine. And he knows what you need. And his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, and he'll find you stuff. Not only does he want you to have what you need, he wants you to have what you want.
That's right.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, the word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yep.
You shall not lack, you'll have what you want. God is in the business of blessing people.
True.
Amen. Being a real Christian is the easiest thing. Once you get to a few secrets and you see what's really true in the Word. Once you get past religion. Once you get past all that stuff and you dig into the Word and you find out God is good. Amen. Thank you. You get past all the junk they tried to tell you, that God put sickness on people to teach them a lesson, that God kills people, that's all, quite frankly, hogwash. That's not God. God doesn't have cancer. God doesn't have sickness. And he doesn't put it on people. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I like what Danny said. She said, see, this world is leased out to Satan right now. But because we're born again believers, we got our authority back.
That's right. Yep.
But you're going to have to remember that that's the place you're going to have to do business from.
Right.
You're no match for any spirit, but you're in your flesh.
Yeah.
But you're way far above. In your spirit.
That is right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, all of the things, as Amanda would say, all the things the healing, all your stuff, your boat, you know, your motorcycle, your guitars, your good beds, your what? Your guns. All those things. Is this the last day of hunting season? Is it? That's why people are missing this morning. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All of these things come through the Spirit, and faith is that spiritual force. So now you're going, well, Pastor, we know these things. Yeah, but you need to eat it again. Faith is now. If it isn't now, it isn't faith. Okay? So if you're going to get well, if you're going to become prosperous, if you're going to have success, you're still going. Hope is in the future. You have to get past hope and wish and desire. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. You can't just desire. Yeah. Well, you know, I believe the Lord wants me to have this, and I'm really desiring that we're going to have this new home, blah, 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 blah. Well, just desiring it won't get it. Right. It's good, but it's only the start. Faith will get you the home. Faith will get you the car. Faith will get you out of debt. Faith will get you well. Faith will get you whatever clients you need. Da, 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 da. Amen. And it's now. I am healed. Now listen, never forget what I'm about to tell you. Never forget this. You ready?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Jesus never fails.
Amen.
God never fails. If there is failure, it's you.
Yeah.
I love you, but it's you.
Amen.
It's me. And we've all had faith failures. So get over it. No condemnation. Okay. We fail. So what are you going to remember? Jesus never fails. God never fails. So don't fall back on all that stuff. Don't fall back on all that stuff of, well, maybe God decided not to give this to me because maybe I went to the hospital so I could pray for the person next to me. That's dumb gone to seed. If you were called to go to the hospital to pray for someone, drive out there and pray for them and then go home. People want to make excuses for faith failure. What if we went ahead and took the blame and learned and moved forward? Man, I missed it on that one. I opened my big mouth or I was in doubt or whatever. Why don't we just take the blame instead of trying to stick it on God? Because every time you just stick it on God, you move further away. You just move further away. Because then he's sovereign and he knows. He is sovereign, but he won't go against his word. And he promised you healing. He promised you prosperity. He promised you protection. He promised you. So it's not a failure. Yeah, I will say that. I have a dear friend who's a relative. I'll say it that way. Just went to heaven. And I mean, we stood. And we stood and we stood and we prayed and we were all praying. And the person went to heaven. And somebody, bless their darling hearts and their stupid heads, as Brother Hagin would say, told this person, this person was in the hospital with the person day and night praying. And someone told this person, well, you just weren't in faith. Now I'm a witness. The person was in faith. But it's not just based on the person who's praying. It's based on the one that's laying there. Amen. So, faith changes things, not God. Say that. We're just having a little teaching meeting today, aren't we? Faith changes things, not God. Yeah, that's right. Preach it. Praise the Lord. Faith changes things. God's always the same. So if you learn that, you stop blaming God when things don't work out, you're going to start having victories, church. People say, well, I was just faithing in for such and such, but I didn't get it, so it wasn't God's will. Well, why didn't you find out if it was God's will before you put your faith out there? Yeah. Dong. You know, I was after it, and I put my faith, but it didn't happen. Well, if you were faithing, God doesn't fail. Your faith will get it.
Yep.
Find out first the will of God. Right. And once you know the will of God, don't consult flesh and blood. You may consult your leader or the word or the Spirit of God before you put your faith out there.
Yeah, that's right.
But once you do that and then get it done at all costs, just start moving toward it. Just start working on it. Amen.
Amen.
Find out if it's God's will first. The key, this is big, is knowing and not mental assenting. Listen, if you come to a faith church all the time, it's real easy to get into mental assent.
Yeah.
Well, I know that scripture. Well, I can't believe she's preaching on Mark 11:23. I mean, we hear that all the time. And what about 11:1? I've heard that and heard that and heard that. So I'm in faith. Well, are you? I know that at about 12 o'clock, you're going to eat and you're not going to say, these enchiladas look good, but I've already had them one time. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you're new at faith, or you've been out of faith for a while, give yourself some time before you hit a huge project. Remember how to use the tool. Get back in there and remember how to use the tool. Do what you need to do with it. Is that right?
Yeah.
How many of y'all use tools? Bubba does. He told me he has a bunch of them. You use tools? Oh, you do. In people's mouths. Praise the Lord. What kind of tool do you use?
A fishing rod.
Yeah, let's see. It works. It does work. Chris, what kind of tool do you use? All the tools. That's a good answer. But I remember, you know, when we were kids, we had just had hammers. And me and Sissy, we were always building clubhouses, you know, we're going to build a clubhouse. Got it. And Daddy would have a bunch of wood and he just had hammers. So I remember the first time I was introduced to a nail gun. And it blows your hair. When you aim it a certain way and poof.
Yeah.
So you had to get used to using that tool.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, faith is a tool.
Yes.
So you got to get in there and get used to using it. Get used to, Brother Robert said, learn to use it like a tool. Yes. You use it. It works for you.
Yeah.
We had turned the water off. John had turned the water off on the cabin, because it was freezing a little bit a couple of weeks ago. Well, we needed water, so me and Deb were going to turn it on, and neither one of us could turn it on with our hands. It's down on the ground, and there's rocks and everything. So I went and got a tool, and the tool turned it right on. There's a whole lot more power in the tool of faith than in your desire and in your wanting and your thinking and your hope. Faith will work for you. Amen. People say that the word over in James, faith without works is dead. Now, a lot of people teach it, and I understand what they're saying. They're saying that's not for us because it's about legalism. But according to the Weymouth translation, it's faith without corresponding action is dead. Believing is an action. Speaking is an action. Amen. Faith always says it's mine and I have it now. So make your confession something like this. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by what I believe. Amen. You're not moved by my lower voice today, are you?
No.
You're sitting there wondering, is Pastor sick? I'm not sick. I got out in the wind yesterday and, it's already way better. Thank you, Jesus. But what do you believe? That's what you need to put your focus on, what you're believing. Well, the house I was looking at, it's too much money. Well, Pastor Nancy taught us this. Look at the favor and not the finance.
Amen.
But you're going to have, now Pastor Nancy is a faith giant.
That's right. Yeah.
They say there aren't any, but I'll just use that for now. Because you can get just as big as Pastor Nancy. But she learned how to use it like a tool. Amen. I'll get on down the line here. I'm just talking slow because I want you to get it today. Believing and acting will cause things to materialize. So faith always says, it's mine, I have it now. All right. Now, healed people act healed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say. Let the poor say. Okay. So unbelief is siding against God's word. You could preach something and someone will come up and say, I just don't believe that. Well, they're siding against the word. No, I'm not going there. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to reel that back in. All right. So we act like the word is true. And know this, Satan is going to challenge your faith. He's going to say, yeah, but, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but, look, you're still limping. Yeah, but, that hadn't changed. Yeah, but, you still don't have. Yeah, but, you're going to have to kick his butt out of there. Pun intended. Amen. Now this is what I wanted to get to. Whatever the word says about you is what you should say about you. Right? Is that right? So we have to get busy. We have to act on the word. We don't just wait for things to come. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, maybe you better get in there and talk to him and find out what he wants so y'all can get busy on it. Get your faith going. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this, Matthew 8:17 is not a promise. It's a fact. And I'm going to tell you what Matthew 8:17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That is a fact. Say this, Jesus himself took my infirmities, bore my sickness. So I don't have to. infirmities are feebleness or disease or some kind of malady. Jesus bore it. He took it. He paid for it. It's a fact. He did it on the cross. He did it on the way to the cross. He took a beating on his back, and each one of those stripes represented a category of some kind of disease or malady that the enemy could come up with to say, I've already paid for you. You are healed. Thank you, Jesus. That's what the word says. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? He took it. He took it. What? You know, let's just don't grab that out of the air. Deuteronomy says that sickness and disease and feebleness and poverty and all those things are what? They're under the curse. And the book of Galatians, right over there close to where Danny was in chapter 3, it says that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, so that the blessing, now the blessing, for those of you that are new or watching, the blessing is not hachu bless you. The blessing is an anointing to prosper. So Christ took all of the curse so you could live in the blessing. And in the curse is listed sickness and disease and stuff like that. Church, bulletin here. God hates sickness as much as he hates sin. And the reason he hates sin is because it will kill you. Not because he doesn't want you to have any fun. Praise the Lord. So he took it from us. He paid for it by hanging on the cross. Every evil thing was placed on him at the cross. He paid. And he died all the way with it. Went into hell. I said it. He went into hell. But he rose up victorious. And so all that is paid for you. So anytime you're attacked with something, you need to remember that Christ has redeemed you from it. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to stay sick. Now, if something attacks you, don't get all condemned about it. Remember what Brother Hagin used to say. Brother Hagin would say, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but don't let them nest in your hair. Resist the devil. Act like you're well. Don't just put on your jammies and cuddle up and say, oh, I'm just might be sick for 4 weeks. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Real Bible faith simply says about what the word says about you spiritually. You're going to say spiritually what you want. Yeah. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above only and I'm not beneath. The blessing's overtaken me today. Yeah. I'm first, not last. Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty haughty. Get over your religious self. God's people are first. We're all have the birthright. Amen. Jesus was the firstborn. We are joint heirs with him. We have the birthright. We need to act like it and talk like it. That's what faith does. Amen. Now, healing can be taken. I'm going to just run through this really quick, and then we will. I want to say a couple of things to you I think will really help you. But healing can be obtained in several ways. I want to talk about healing for a minute. Number one, believing the word for yourself. Number two, calling on the elders to pray. Number three, agreement, binding and loosing. Number four, laying on of hands. Number five, all of the above can bring special ministries into operation. Okay? All of those things are right. And number six, saying it. Yeah. Saying it. I'm healed. Now, I want you to listen mindfully here. You are standing in faith for your healing. Get in the scenario with me. So you're not going to listen to the enemy lies. Whatever the diagnosis is, you don't have to get mad at a doctor. They're just telling you what is going on. But you, even though there's a fact that something's going on in you, it's a fact. There's a higher truth. The higher truth is that Jesus paid for that thing. So if you caught the Wamba Goddess and you were feeling really bad, Jesus paid for that.
That's right.
If you got COVID, Jesus paid. If you got the flu, Jesus paid. If you got arthritis, Jesus paid. If whatever it is that cancer, whatever it is that tried to hinder you, Jesus paid. And that's a truth above the fact. Now you can use that in any situation. Amen. Financially.
Right.
The checkbook says $42. Oh, thank you, Jesus, it doesn't. But what if it did? That's just a fact.
Yeah.
That thing can change.
Yeah.
But it's not going to change if you don't use your faith to change it.
True.
You're not going to listen to the enemy's lies. But you're going to listen to God for what? Now listen. Don't listen to the enemy's lies, but listen to God while you're in faith for what steps to take.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay? Y'all got that out there? So I'm healed. So the Lord might say, well, get in there and take some vitamin C. It's good for you. I thought I'd get more amens on vitamin C. It can't hurt you. Well, I'm healed. Go in there and take some wellness formula. That's our big thing. We take wellness formula because it's natural stuff. Well, I'm healed. Yes, but I want you to go see such and such doctor. They're going to help you. Go see Dr. Colbert. He'll help you or whoever, right?
Yeah.
Or go see Ryan, our body mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever. At church, it's the same thing. If your car was having an issue and you prayed about it, you would go see, we used to go see Randall. I don't know where everybody goes now. I guess Chris. But wherever you go to, if something happened to your car, ask the Lord about that. But your car is fixed. Right? Same with your body. Get the next steps, but stay in faith. Now, you want to watch out on the other side of the house. Just don't start self-medicating and trying to fix yourself.
Right.
But follow the Spirit of God with your vitamins and your whatever, and this is going to help you, and walk with Him through whatever it is in faith. Because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Well, I believe I'm supposed to have some wealth because I want to flow in the kingdom of God. Well, believe God for it and follow the steps. The steps would be what? That you become a tither, that you become a giver, and that maybe you quit charging up the credit card. That might help you get richer, right? I'm just saying. This is just a practical day, okay? But you do what God shows you to do, doing what God said to do, is obedience, expecting God to do His part. For example, Moses did what? What did he do? He stretched out the rod. God parted the water. Naaman dipped. God healed the leprosy. We lay hands on the sick, but God causes them to recover. Elders anoint with oil and pray. God raises the sick. We do the small things, but God does the big things. When Creflo had his incident, I use it a lot, I like it. He went right to work in the Word. Right to work, and he worked and he worked, but he didn't just go, okay, I'm all right. He went back and got the results. And lo and behold, when they took the picture of his insides, there appeared to be a man with a beard on the inside of him. And he was healed. You remember that?
Yeah.
Praise God. So, you know, and just don't give up. Sometimes you walk through things. It's not God, but maybe you weren't ready for the thing that happened. And so you're a little behind on where you're standing, but keep going. You'll get there. And don't wait to take some healing doses till you get sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Charles Capps used to call it God's medicine. Amen. Act like the New Testament is true. And here's another thing you could do. Take communion. Communion will bring healing. Here's one more thing you can do. The point of contact. Determination to make contact with the anointing. Jairus did that. He said, when he gets here, I'm going to get him and my daughter's going to live. The woman with the issue comes in. Jairus has to wait. Interesting thing. If you can see that picture in your mind, he's having to wait while Jesus deals with the woman with the issue. But what does she say? If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Okay? So, Jairus got Jesus moving. The woman with the issue stopped him. But they both were in faith. They both got what they needed out of Jesus. And you will get what you need as you have a point of contact. Gladys came in the other day and said, I knew that if I got here, you could lay hands on me and I'd be healed. And that happened. Okay? Praise the Lord. Sometimes you know that when you get somewhere, when you go to a meeting. I've seen LaDonna playing her violin, and I knew that when the people got to her, they made that point of contact, they were healed. I remember that happened with Rachel one time, and several of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's healing in the room right now. Church, healing always comes. Healing always comes. It's as close as forgiveness. Jesus did both of them. He said, you're forgiven and you're healed. Now, the religious people didn't like that, but it was still true. Just as much as you're forgiven, you're healed. Right now, just as much as you're forgiven, you're healed. You know that backache? You know that uncomfortableness? You know how you want to see better? You know whatever, whatever, whatever? Healing is in the room right now. It's in the room right now. Healing is in the room right now. Wherever healing is out in the room, the hospital rooms right now. It's there. When that blood left Jesus' body and went out into the world in the form of light speed. I hope that wasn't too deep for you. When that blood was spilled, that blood was filled with life and light. It has been in this atmosphere. When the Holy Ghost was poured out just a few days later, there was healing in the atmosphere. There's healing in the atmosphere right now. There's miracles in the atmosphere right now. You just have to pull them in with your faith. Maybe that fishing poles is a good tool example. Cast it out there and pull in your fish. Cast it out there, pull in your healing. Cast it out there and get what belongs to you. There's healing. Now here's just some things to remember and we'll start closing. Power that flows without demand is wild and destructive. Electricity, if it's not, if it's uncontrolled, it will cause destruction, right? But when power comes by demand, you get lights. You harness this power by faith, y'all. You harness it by your faith. This one of the songs this morning that was being, oh, I hear the sound of the dry bones rattling. Notice it's the dry bones. The dry bones. That's where the enemy goes, to the dry place. I mean, they want to go to the wet places. Excuse me. You send them to the dry places. Okay. They can't stay on the anointing where it's wet. What does the scripture say? The anointed is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. So if you're oiled up, you can't get a yoke around your neck. It slips off.
Yeah.
Right? So you want those dry bones to be wet. So I know you're just thinking about Elisha's bones in the grave or whatever, but go a little bit bigger than that. Don't get dried out. Don't get dry. You need to be moist. You need to have some anointing on your life. Listen, no word, no faith. No faith, no anointing. No anointing, no burdens removed or yokes destroyed.
Yeah, that's right.
That's as simple as it is. Get word. Amen. That's why I've talked real slow today, saying all this to you so you just grab one more time to use your faith like a tool to get word, get word. Well, that's all church, we are a word church, you know. And that's all that's going to change your life is knowing and understanding and, of course, the Spirit of God, but getting word and eating it like food until you're anointed and things just push off of you. You know, you can get to a place where you can have a good life every day. It's not just one battle. Well, I'm a Christian. It's one battle after another. That's a lie. That's a lie. You can have a lot of good days.
That's right.
But you said something this morning about depression. The name of Jesus is above that. The name of Jesus is above depression. Did you know that gratefulness and anxiety cannot be in the brain at the same time? According to scientists, you can't be grateful and have anxiety at the same time. I decided I was going to try it. Sometimes my little dog, hold your thoughts, staff. My little dog barks to boss us around. That's it. Jordan's got her down. And in a little while, you'll find yourself getting ruffled, you know, because you're trying to do stuff and it ruffles you. They'll all do things to try to make her happy and everything. She's spoiled. But for me, I try to just make her quit and I'll just leave her alone and just try to, but after a while it gets under my skin. And I'm like, I'm trying to thank grace. I'm trying to pack. We're going to go see Brother Copeland tomorrow. I'm trying to pack. Yeah. And I thought, I'm going to try it. So every time she would bark, I'd think of something to be grateful for. And it worked. It worked. No anxiety, no getting yucky about it. Lord, thank you. I'm thankful. It's da-da-da. I'm thankful for this. Thankful for some people. Thank you. I just started going down the line. In a minute, she went to sleep. I know you're thinking that dog's used by the devil, but she's a blessing. Now, so Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Healing comes whether you feel it or not. Don't give up when hands are laid on you. Don't go, well, I didn't get it. Healing always comes. You got to let it soak in and keep believing. What did that first scripture say? And do not doubt in your heart. You're going to have a moment when you're going to be tested. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. Now, I want to say one more thing and we'll close. This is important. I learned this from Brother Hagin. When you receive something, of course, you don't stop. You keep believing. Listen to the message again. Read the verses. Go to healing school. You must move from mental assent to true faith. You must do that. Now, this is what Brother Hagin said back in 1932. No, he said we'd go to meetings, and I think it was one of Brother Robert's meetings he was talking about, one of those healing guys. And he said, this lady was just stove up completely with arthritis. And, she got healed. She just got healed right there when Brother Roberts laid hands on her. Okay. So she left. And so Brother Hagin tells his long story of how he went over to talk to so-and-so and they stopped by to see Sister, whoever she is. And it was a year later and she stove up again. And come to find out, the crowd around her was saying, "Oh, we was just scared that she's gonna get that arthritis again. We just scared. We just thought she's going." So, are they helping her?
No.
Well, what if it come back on me? What if it comes back on me? What if it comes back on me? What if it doesn't?
Right.
Now, I have a point to this. He talked to another man got totally healed of something. He goes to see him 2 years later. Same thing with this man. About 2 days ago, it started coming back. There's this belief that once you're healed, it can't attack you again. That could be true if you stayed in faith.
Yeah.
What I want to tell you is this. This is so important. If you didn't get anything else about today, I want to tell you this. You are going to have to build a faith capacity for yourself. Because we can lay hands on you every week. And by the time you get to Saturday, Brother Hagin calls it Saturday. And Brother Holler loved that. By the time you get to next Saturday, you could be worse than you were. Church, you've got to build a capacity for your faith. You've got to build a capacity. I have a superior immune system. That's my confession, and I believe every word of it. And see, now what I found out is there's a lot of us when we don't get sick, but we deal with allergies, they say. Well, why don't we just take care of that too? Start building using your faith to have allergy immunity, let's call it. Why not that? Why do we think that we just ought to have to cope with a few things, with these? Why don't we start building? And why don't we build enough faith that we don't flinch when something happens? Like maybe to one of our loved ones. Maybe when she came home with a bad report. What are you going to do? Never fight a battle you can't win. What? That's right. Never fight a battle you can't win. Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Always get loaded up first. Always have your faith going. Always be ready. Always be working these things. Always do it. Brother Hagin said that. Never fight a battle you can't win. Because you'll lose if you're fighting flesh to spirit. Cancer is a spirit. Diabetes is a spirit. No, it is. And then it attacks the body and the cells start responding to it. It's a spirit. You're no match if you don't get up to the far above place. You have to build a capacity. We cannot, in these days, when we're going to see so many signs and wonders and miracles and great things that are going to be happening and people get healed, and we don't want to meet them a year later and it's gone. Well, I got healed, but now, no. Amen. Y'all are quiet. Thank you, Jesus. You receive it? Build a capacity. Well, I don't have time. Well, you don't have time to die. Build a capacity. Do it. Have we failed at it? Yeah. Have we had faith failures? Yeah. Have we had all kinds of failures? Yeah, but Jesus paid. And here's the neat thing about Jesus. You're not out after three strikes. Your daddy owns the ballpark. You can hit at that ball till you hit a grand slam. You can play till you win. And keep on and keep on. And here's the beautiful thing about this. The beautiful thing about it is once you get some wins under your belt, am I right? They keep a coming. I have seen that in my life. Once you get a hold of some things and you get these victories, you'll get some more. Remember the guy, I probably preached this back when you were a little kid, Roger Bannister. He broke the 4-minute mile, 3-minute mile, what was it? One of those. Who knows? 4-minute mile. But once he did, all the guys ran through. Everybody started running through. Every time there's a disruption and a barrier is broken, everybody runs through it. Somebody created an electric car. Now everybody's running through it. Amen. Well, I just say we're going to break the barrier against allergies. I just say we're going to break the barrier of any kind of shortness in this church. That we are blessed in this church.
Amen.
That we just don't fall back on, man, let me tell you about my operation. Gladys is one of the best examples of someone who knows how to live by faith. Went over to their house and she was being attacked. And that girl would not get off the word. You saw it. You saw it. Deb saw it. You said y'all saw her speaking the word, speaking the word, speaking the word, speaking the word. And here she's sitting here right now. Get after that word. Well, no, well, just do it. Let's stand up. Yeah, I'll say that. Now, how many of you thought, well, I'm so glad she's done. I need to stand up. Let me say something to you, because we've all felt like that. Build your capacity to sit under the word. Build your capacity where you're not one of those flesh people that can't go to meetings because you can't sit there. I've stood in the back until I built the capacity. Amen. Now we go to meetings that last all week, all day long, all night long. We're used to it. We're word birds. We're leaving tomorrow. We're going to have 3 days, all day, all night. Sometimes they'll run down to 11 o'clock. We don't care. We want to hear it. We want to know it. We're building capacity so that we can have success. Well, why do y'all care so much about success? Jesus said to suffer. You need to read the Bible. We're suffering with you. No. No. If you do well, that's your ministry. Do well, it's your ministry. Nobody wants to try to receive something from a loser. It's the truth. They don't want to receive. They want to say, how come you have peace during all this last 2 years of stuff? Because I know we've already won. Why do you have, why are you so prosperous? Because I did the word. And once you get over there and you see how to do some things, like I said, it keeps coming. We're on, somebody corrected me the other day. I think we're on six paid for cars, never a payment, and three trucks, seven cars. That little silver thing that Jesse gave us. Yeah. Seven cars without having to make a payment in the last 15 years. Amen. You could go and buy with cash. Well, I want to do that. Okay. Do it. Well, I have a debt-free home, and we're standing in a debt-free church.
Yep. Glory to God.
Well, I want to do that. Do it. Well, I've been here for 20 years now, 19 and a half. I have never missed a Sunday service because of sickness. Not one time. Do it. You do it. I got a choke on that one, didn't I? Did y'all feel the choke? Did y'all feel the choke? What if I need to stay home? Only stay home if you have fever. Drag yourself up here. Because then you'll be healed. Well, I didn't feel like coming. Only if there's an emergency, which would include fever or you need, your dog needs help. That's all I'm going to say. Got you, Ronnie. Praise the Lord.